This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, November's election could lead to a shift in the balance of power on the Hamilton County Commission. We'll talk with two of the candidates in that race, Todd Portune and Andrew Pappas. First up, poverty in Greater Cincinnati continues to be a real and growing problem, especially for children in Cincinnati, many of whom are living below the federal poverty level. Here to discuss ongoing efforts to reduce poverty in Greater Cincinnati are Executive Director of the Child Poverty Collaborative, Lynn Marmer, Director of Community Affairs for Mayor John Cranley's office, Bridget Patton, and WCPO.com reporter Lucy May, who has written extensively on poverty in the WCPO digital series, Below the Line, Examining Childhood Poverty. You can join our conversation this afternoon at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can send your comments, send questions to us on Facebook or Twitter. And Lynn, Lucy, and Bridget, thank you so much for being here this afternoon. Good to see everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Lynn, how bad is this problem for Cincinnati? How big of a problem is poverty?
Well, you know, we've talked about it before, and the numbers really are so startling. Cincinnati has 39% of its children living in families at the poverty level. And at the poverty level means at $19,000 a year or less for a family of three. Now, the good news is that we ticked up a little bit from 2014. That number was 44%, but 39% is still way too high, and it ranks us sixth in the country among cities of our size. So it's not comparing us to, like, Chicago or New York, but compared to cities like Cleveland and Columbus and other cities of our size, we rank sixth in child poverty, and that's just unacceptable.
Yeah, I'm always really amazed by those numbers. Bridget, what kind of an impact is this having on the city of Cincinnati?
I think primarily in that as we think about the city and how what we like to describe as our renaissance, and how things are thriving in our downtown area, that there are folks who are not a part of that. And it's manifesting itself in our neighborhoods and in communities. And in a lot of ways, folks feel left out and not a part of the city's growing renaissance and these opportunities. And it's kind of, two cities.
Lucy, you've done a lot of reporting on poverty throughout the area. Mm-hmm. How widespread is this?
Yeah, this is not just a city of Cincinnati problem, to be sure. The child poverty rate extends throughout the tri-state. And when we've kind of mapped census data, we've seen pockets of poverty everywhere. One of our first stories in this series was on Boone County, which Boone County is the second wealthiest county in the state of Kentucky. And there is a pocket of poverty there where hundreds of children live at or below the federal poverty line. So it's all over the place. It's hard to find a corner of the tri-state where there isn't some of this childhood poverty. And it's really, you know, to Bridget's point, it's also wasting a lot of potential. You know, there are a lot of people who could be contributing to our community in a lot of different ways, and they feel stuck in this place of poverty where they can't contribute to their fullest extent, and where kids especially, they start off behind the eight ball when they are born into poverty, and it's so hard for them to climb their way out. And it's like we're wasting all that young potential, too, by not addressing this.
And Lynn, that's a good point that Lucy's bringing up. How strong a predictor of future poverty status is it if you're a kid living in poverty?
Unfortunately, it's very strong. If you're African American and you're born into poverty, you have more than a 50% chance of living most of your life in poverty. And so it's a very serious indicator of basically future potential. That's one of the reasons why we have been focusing on child poverty, even though we know child poverty really is family poverty as well. But we need to make sure that we're looking at ways that we can make a difference in children's lives. Preschool is one of those ways. Having more accessible childcare, making it easier for moms to be working, Those are all things that can be helpful. And then getting kids through high school, having a high school diploma makes a huge difference.
Lynn, for people who might not be familiar with the Childhood Poverty Collaborative, can you tell us more about that organization?
Sure. It was formed in the beginning of this year, and we have about 600 people who follow us regularly, which is incredibly exciting. We have a group of people from business and from the faith community, social services, and just generally interested citizens, as well as people who have been in poverty on our steering committee. And then we have a small group of co-chairs that include Mayor Cranley, Odell Owens, Donna Jones-Baker, Sister Sally Duffy, Tom Williams, and Michael Fisher. So we've had this group working really almost for 9 months now, and we're having our second community summit coming up on Saturday.
And you've also had, I believe, 75 at least community conversations.
Yes, we have.
Since the organization was formed. What are you learning from those conversations?
I think what we're learning from the conversations, and it has been just amazing. We've been everywhere all over the city, and we really thank people for spending their time with us and also just being very honest, is that we have, as Bridget said, two cities. So when people, especially people who are in poverty or who have recently been in poverty or who live in neighborhoods with high concentrations of poverty, when they talk about Cincinnati, you might not even recognize it, because they experience neighborhood violence, they experience children without enough food, not good access to education, not good access to transportation. It really is a tale of two cities. And the people in our communities have told us very clearly that there are a number of barriers that need to change in order for our city to change.
What are some of the barriers they point out, Lynn?
Well, one of the biggest ones, and it's the most uncomfortable one for people in Cincinnati to talk about, is race. Mm. And we've got a long history here of bias. We've got a long history here of inequity. And that ranges everything from housing to employment, education, healthcare. And so we have to, I think, as a community, begin to talk about, why are we two cities? And if you want to understand that better and you would like to learn more, I direct you to the Urban League's Tale of Two Cities, The State of Black Cincinnati. But we have definitely heard loud and clear that we need as a community to start talking about our biases and our inequities. And a lot of that boils down to our racial history.
So race is one big barrier. What were some of the others, Lynn?
Some of the others are things like 70% of the jobs in this region pay less than $50,000 a year. So that doesn't sound so terrible until you realize that it takes about $50,000 a year for a family of three to be self-sufficient. And the truth is that we're not growing the number of jobs that pay above that at a very fast pace. So people are working. Even very low-income moms are working, but they're not earning enough.
Yeah, I interviewed a mom for a story that I wrote to preview the summit for the website that's published today. And she worked her way out of poverty, but she talked about how difficult that was. And when she was 18 years old, a senior in high school, she had four different part-time jobs. And she was still going to school. She still graduated, but she's always worked. It's just a matter of, it took her just years and years and years of working at these jobs that were fairly low-skilled jobs that just couldn't pay her enough to support herself and her young son without government assistance. And then getting beyond that to a job that does pay you enough, you start to get a little bit higher paying job and you start to lose your benefits, and all of a sudden you're deeper in the hole than you were when you had your government benefits. So it's a very difficult journey for people who start out in poverty.
And I think to add, in terms of barriers, transportation is a huge barrier. Even if we were to embrace these jobs that are, we would describe as low paying jobs, to get to even those jobs is a challenge for folks. So when you start to put together two part-time jobs and they're far away, and then you factor in transportation and perhaps childcare and all of the other issues that are required to address to even get to a full-time job, not to mention two part-time jobs, clearly you have barrier issues.
40% of the jobs in the region aren't accessible mm-hmm. by public transportation. And if you're just starting out, so you can go over to Hebron, Kentucky and get a well-paying job, but you're probably going to be on the second or third shift, and you're probably going to have to take two or three buses just to get there.
If they even run that late.
Yeah, if there is, exactly.
So how do we address that kind of a problem?
Well, I think it's important that we continue that conversation with Metro and SORTA and say the primary purpose in the community ought to be linking people to jobs. So there are cities that are doing some pretty innovative things with vans and even with very low-cost leases of cars so that you're not depending on public transportation at all. You're depending upon your own transportation. But there are ways, in addition, I think, to improving our public transit system to making alternatives.
Mm-hmm. And I would just add that, you know, conversations with the employers and employer engagement to help them better understand that transportation is a barrier and how might they contribute to that solution as well.
Bridget, what are some of the other approaches that Mayor Cranley's office is taking toward dealing with issues of poverty?
So, we focus on five primary areas every day. That's inclusion, that's neighborhood safety, fiscal responsibility, you know, of the city, and jobs. And so poverty touches all those areas. As we focus on neighborhoods and really engage, certainly our goal is to address safety, but to look at the disparities in those neighborhoods in the communities that our constituents share with us. When we talk about jobs, we're talking about these jobs, lower paying jobs, jobs that folks who are actually working and not making enough money, we want to obviously increase those jobs and increase opportunities for folks to develop skills. We have the Hand Up Initiative, which is focused on workforce development, where we have added to agencies who have proven records of getting folks back to work, like the Urban League, Cincinnati Cooks, Cincinnati Works, ICRON, and what's the other hand-up agency? Oh, Mercy Neighborhoods. So we are making investments in programs that are focused on getting folks the skills that they need to get into entry-level jobs as well as receive the training that they need to kind of move up the ladder. Inclusion really focuses on women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, and those opportunities for those businesses to contract with the city of Cincinnati. So when we started, you know, our numbers were really, really low in terms of our contracting. But though, you know, increasing procurement with minority businesses and women-owned businesses is in and of itself just that relationship, we do see it as a part of increasing the middle class and increasing the opportunity for women in our community to do better as well.
So economic growth and opportunity, you see those as important keys in dealing with this.
Certainly. Yeah.
And women and minority-owned businesses traditionally are more willing to hire women and minorities.
Yeah.
So it also is a job creation effort to create more jobs for people in the community.
Mm-hmm. We will continue our conversation, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking about efforts to reduce poverty in Greater Cincinnati. And joining me this afternoon, the Executive Director of the Child Poverty Collaborative, Lynn Marmer, Director of Community Affairs for Mayor John Cranley's office, Bridget Patton, and WCPO.com reporter Lucy May. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Lynn, you were a longtime Kroger executive and before you took on this new role. And I'm wondering, how do you see your experiences from the business world being used in fighting poverty?
I think that it is a couple of things that intersect here. One is, frankly, I think the business community cares a lot about this issue. That doesn't necessarily mean that there are easy answers or quick answers, but we've seen a lot of engagement by the business community in the Child Poverty Collaborative, and there will be an opportunity, I think, for businesses to come together and to talk more about what might be best practices, because there are things that we've learned along the way that really are important, like the predictability of a schedule. So if you're working at a Kroger store, for example, it used to be that you got your schedule on Sunday night and you had to figure out how you were going to manage childcare and things like that. That's one of the things that our employees have told us is important, and it's one of the things that the company has learned to try to accommodate in a more predictable way, which helps then especially single moms who have the vast majority of children head up the vast majority of households that are in poverty. I wanted to go back to something Bridget said, if you don't mind, which I thought was really important, which is the emphasis on public safety. You might not directly see that relationship to poverty, but when we look at what's called adverse childhood experiences, which are experiences that children have that tend to stay with them and influence them for the rest of their lives. So it hurts their earnings potential, it hurts their educational potential. Well, it's pretty amazing, but 20% of the children in Cincinnati have been a victim of or witnessed neighborhood violence. So when you think about the impact of an experience like that on a child and how it can lead to these other things like educational attainment and so on, it's really important, the work that's being done to make our neighborhoods safer. Mm-hmm. And so some of it is just that it all connects together, Mark. It's really complicated. There's no simple answer, but it's something that's all woven together.
Well, and a lot of people would say it's frustrating because we Lyndon Johnson declared the war on poverty back in 1965. Now, you were noting some progress that we've seen, and there has been, but it just seems like it's always an issue that is out there. It's just always so frustrating to deal with this, and you just have to wonder what is keeping us from making progress in this area.
Well, I think some of the people that I've talked to in the time that I've been covering this, the part of the frustration is that systems don't always talk to each other. So somebody can be, a single mom in poverty can be thinking she's doing the right thing, and then all of a sudden she'll lose benefits or something happens. You know, the lady I talked to the other day said, you know, you can have a new job and you have to report what your income is in your new job. And then a week into your new job, your car breaks down and you can't get to work and you lose your new job. But then you're on a waiting list to get your benefits back. And sometimes you don't get your benefits back for 2 years. So there are ways that the systems that are kind of designed, you think, to help people don't communicate with each other, that make it all the harder for people to kind of dig their way out.
Yeah. You know, for me, I look at the kind of cultural nuances of poverty and how, you know, you're born into poverty, and certainly there are lots of statistics around why you might stay in poverty in terms of, you know, your job or where you live. But all of that adds up to a kind of culture and a sense of hopelessness. And when families are generationally in this situation, it's really hard to begin to imagine anything different. And so, a sense of hopelessness that comes about, and maybe first a family, and then a neighborhood, and then a community. And, that's weighted, and it's just pervasive. And I think we're going to have to do some really deliberate things in our community to help move all of us past that. Because not only do people who live in poverty have this sense of this is kind of where they are, I think people who don't live in poverty have a sense that this is where they are. And so how do we all begin to move forward in a way without us all thinking very differently?
Right.
About
it sounds like we all need to come together on this, is what you're saying. And
exactly.
I'll get on the same page in dealing with this issue.
And a lot of people, I think, who are working on the front lines and having success, part of that success comes from helping families living in poverty see their strengths instead of only their deficits. You know, it is really complicated to be a poor person and navigate all the social systems that are out there, navigate if you don't have a bank account, if you come into some money. You know, there are whole networks of families who, you know, grandma gets a check and somebody borrows from grandma and has to pay her back. I mean, there are very complicated financial networks that people set up out of necessity, and those are skills. You have to be smart to be able to juggle that. But when people are busy getting by and trying to survive from day to day, they don't realize what skills they're bringing to their lives. And some of it is looking at communities for their strengths instead of what they don't have and helping people figure out how to leverage that.
Ellen, tell us about the next summit that you have coming
so
up.
So it's a perfect lead-in, because what we're going to be doing on Saturday, and there's free breakfast, there's childcare, you don't have to register in advance. There's even free parking in a garage right near the convention center, Duke Energy Center. Doors will open at 8 and we'll begin at 9. And we're going to be working, as we did at the last summit, around some of the issues like, well, what does this picture of poverty look like in Cincinnati, and how is it different? What are the factors that are explaining Cincinnati's unusually high levels of childhood poverty, and also what can we begin to do about it? So we're looking forward to welcoming everyone on Saturday.
So Lynn, Lucy, and Bridget, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Executive Director of the Child Poverty Collaborative, Lynn Marmer, Director of Community Affairs for Mayor John Cranley's office, Bridget Patton, and WCPO.com reporter Lucy May. Coming up, we'll hear from two of the candidates in the Hamilton County Commission race, Andrew Pappas and Todd Portune. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.